if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say this was their finest hour.
We stand for Queen, Country, and Video Games. BRB UK. Worse teeth, better accents.
Ahoy, hoy, may I say, ho, 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 merry non-denominational holiday of your choosing. Yes, it's that time of year. 2018's drawing to a close. We're losing the will to live. I almost said it was 2019 was drawing to a close, but that's a spoiler for this time next
Great
year, so
Scott.
I apologise. I apologise for spoiling next year for you. But anyway, welcome to BRB UK. I am Dan. I'm one of your hosts. I'm joined as ever by the fearless duo that is Coleman.
Ho, ho, ho.
And his sidekick,
Tiny Tim.
Why are we being relegated to a sidekick all of a sudden?
Oh, come on. We all know Coleman's the one who wears the underpants outside the trousers. How are you two?
That may be true, but that doesn't add up to anything. That just means he's crazy.
You're still the sidekick, Tim.
Yay! Number one, sort of.
We all know, most kind of leading light superheroes do, well, I would say Batman, he's a bit messed up. Superman, bit messed up.
Yep.
You know, several of them, bit messed up. Wolverine, bit messed up.
Mate, if you put it in perspective, when I moved home to London, if Gosport exploded behind me, I'd be a bit messed up.
Well, yeah, but you'd also be secretly pleased that you got to walk away from an explosion when you come back.
I mean, if going to London meant I got superpowers, that'd be kind of good.
Walk away from Gosport explosions.
Yeah.
Yep. So are you excited for Christmas, chat?
Yes, sort of.
Yeah, maybe.
let's pretend a yes.
I've got some Christmas shopping done. I have to do a mad dash on Friday and finish it.
I'm disappointed that you've already got most of it done.
I'd say most.
Do you mean none?
Half.
Sounds like you're ahead of me and Dan.
No, I had a massive Amazon delivery on Monday.
Massive Amazon.
Massive Amazon delivery.
Yes, and other online retailers who don't pay tax are available. So I went to the shops briefly on Saturday. I was like, sod this. I'm going to do it in my pants on my sofa. I've never been happier.
Yep, you and most of the rest of the lazy ass country, but you know.
Half mine was done on Amazon.
I've got a load of stuff from Amazon as well. I'm not even going to pretend that that's not the case. So, you know. But I don't like it. I just do it like everyone.
I don't have to like it. I do have to conform.
I'll just do it. Yeah. It's about this time of the year and about this episode in the year that we look back and go, well, what did we done look forward to in 2018? Around about, let's say, episode 274.
Yes.
Yes.
That's when we last did this.
So it's an interesting read, what we were looking forward to.
Oh, yes.
Tim?
Yeah?
Novice mode is one of your choices. Ace Combat 7, Skies Unknown. Did you know that was going to make you the source of YouTube-based ire?
I did specify I am mostly looking forward to for the VR thing. That has been scaled down somewhat in terms of the ratio of game, but the VR content that I have seen still makes me very excited for this game. So I'm still looking forward to it. It's out in January, so I only just missed this year. That's not too bad overall. And yeah, hey, we got some internet fame out of it, even if it was just people laughing at me.
If I remember correctly, you had at that
internet,
point
internet
as well.
Internet shame.
Yes. Exactly.
Because last year's prediction was after we first went to Bandai Namco to play it and put the first content up, which was in standard, not novice, standard mode. And then the footage we put up this year was you playing it in the expert mode.
Yeah.
And then still got called novice. There is no novice mode. It doesn't exist. The standard and expert.
Well, in terms of the actual predictions that I made, I may have been in novice mode as well by the looks of things a little bit.
Right.
Well, according to you anyway, Dan, I would have thought. But the other one that didn't come out this year, unfortunately, is Blood and Truth. And I say unfortunately only because I want to play it having played like a couple of bits of it. But yeah, they never necessarily said it was coming out. I was just kind of hoping it was coming out in 2018. And I'm kind of glad that necessarily isn't the case, because I'm glad they haven't rushed it and they're still trying to make, you know, the best product they can in however long it takes them to make it, basically. I still haven't even heard them actually talking about a release date for this yet, so who knows? I would imagine it's coming out in 2019, though.
On the bright side, though, you do get to tell them they ruin Christmas for you.
Yeah.
So that's two of your games you were looking forward to that haven't come out. You've really Coleman'd these predictions this year.
Am I playing the role of Coleman?
Are you now a verb, Coleman? It's to Coleman.
Well, I think last year I got a game that was cancelled. The year before, I got two games that got delayed to the following year.
Yeah, so I did the two games delayed to the following year. Although one of them was a bit of a long shot in the dark, hope. But, you know, hey. It means I've got both of those games still to look forward to. I don't consider that necessarily a bad thing.
Look at you and you're turning your frown upside down.
Yeah. All good.
But there was one that did manage to come out, though, Tim.
Yes.
So, well done.
Yes.
1 out of 3 ain't bad.
Not bad.
I mean, it's not great. Don't get me wrong.
It's not like we're necessarily... This isn't like the predictions that we do for E3 and stuff. This was just the three games that we were most looking forward to. And yeah, we do like to, you know, take the mickey out of each other when games get delayed or cancelled or what else. But yeah, you know, it is what it is. But Detroit Become Human was my other pick. And I'm still... That was still one of my highlights of the year in terms of gaming. I haven't finished the very end of it, but it's literally top of my pile of shame for my Christmas holiday, which is coming up, so I can actually finish that. That and the DLC for Spider-Man is probably my top of my shame pile at the moment, so they'll be getting played fairly soon. But
I finished it.
I really enjoyed Detroit. I thought it was enjoyable for what it was. It was good.
Yeah,
it's not a competition, Coleman.
It kind of falls through the bottom for the ending, but the rest of the game itself, I think it's not my top three, but I think it's like in my top five. I enjoyed it that much. It's good to have a nice single player focused game without like all this online and loot boxes and.
And I like some
of the stuff. Games as games again.
All right, Granddad.
No, but I do like some of the stuff that it kind of added to the Heavy Rain formula as well. Just at the end of the level, being able to see the percentage of people that made the same decisions as you and all that type of stuff.
How many people made the same decisions as you, Tim? How many people, that's what I want to know, made the same poor life choices that you did?
No one made the same decisions as me, Dan.
It's amazing because
otherwise they'd be sat on top of me right now and be uncomfortable.
They put all these branches pass in, like, did you find this? Were you aggressive to this person? Were you friendly to this person? And they kind of show you a percentage of, you can change it. It can be just your friends list or people all over the world. And it's quite impressive because, like, Tim's just veers off going, did you walk into a wall and stay there?
Did you spend 18 hours talking about the menus in this game?
You can talk to... There's a menu that talks to you, to be fair.
Yeah. No, don't encourage him, Coleman.
It's a pretty good menu, Dan, as menus go.
No, shut up.
I really like my menu.
Oh, my God. Fuck's sake. Why do I do this? Year after year. It's been nearly 10 years I've been... Tim, do you know, we've been podcasting for over 10 years together now.
You're a decade.
You're a decade.
What? You're a decade? What? That told me. Yeah. Holy snap, son.
No, but yeah, 10 years of this nonsense you've been putting up with me, Dan. Can't even string together a sentence in reply to what you're saying.
And you still can't use a microphone properly.
No.
It is amazing.
Can't do anything right, Dan.
It is absolutely amazing, your lack of ability to use a microphone.
Yeah.
I'm stunned.
Good.
Don't talk into that bit. That's not where the where the face hole is.
That's
for
the
you,
cable.
What?
No, that's the monitor. That's the actual monitor you're speaking into, you moron. Anyway, yes. So let's do yours now, Coleman.
Oh, all right. Okay.
You made some safe bets here of things you were looking forward to, and therefore by extension hoping were going to come out this year. So first up, you had Far Cry 5.
Yep. Played Far Cry 5. I enjoyed it to a point, and then I kind of got bored, as people tend to with Far Cry games, by the looks of it.
That's what I do with Far Cry games. That's why I stopped buying Far Cry games.
Because I got about halfway through it, then I distinctly lost interest in it, I have to say. It just started feeling very samey.
I'm not even sure I got halfway through. I definitely beat one of the areas. I remember that. I just remember getting distinctly annoyed when one of the characters that was following me around... decided to, after we'd taken a small plane and landed like a small little island section, and then I got out and they decided to get in the plane and then drive it straight into a hill, which it then flipped over and exploded.
There's a word for people like that.
Before even taking off, yeah. And then I was like, well, great, now I'm stuck on an island. Thank you, AI.
I'm a Coleman, get me out of here.
I'm pretty sure I then fell through the earth and looked at the wireframe, I don't know, but yeah.
You fell through the earth? Jesus Christ, talk about hamming it up and taking it to extremes. I'm so upset about being silent, I'm going to defy space and time.
I enjoyed Far Cry 5, but I feel like the game that was advertised to me versus the game I got were two very different things. Especially with the start of the game, it's a very dark start to that game, and it's all about cults and out in kind of backwater America, and that was the story I was really interested in. And then as soon as that bit's over, they go, exploding fireworks and farting bears, oh look how weird we are, and it just turned into Saints Row. So
I mean, have you ever smelt a bear fart?
No.
Well, neither have I, but I anticipate it would be moderately horrendous. It would not be an olfactory treat, put it that way.
I had a bear friend in the game. I think he was called Cheeseburger. I can't remember. That was.
Did you name him Cheeseburger?
No, they're already named.
Oh, that's a good name for a pet bear.
Yeah, you can get a mountain lion called Peaches.
Aw.
Yeah. They're lovely names for killing machines.
I know, right?
Anyway.
And what else did you have? You also had, surprise, surprise, Marvel Spider-Man.
Yes.
Which I think we can say is a resounding ruddy success.
Yeah.
Both critically and commercially, I believe.
Yeah, I was looking forward to it, and I was a little bit worried that the hype going into it across the board was a bit too high, and this game would come out and then be a bit of a damp squib. I knew I was going to like it regardless because I love Spider-Man games, and been super happy, played loads and loads of that game. Much like Tim, I bought the DLC, I started playing a little bit of it, and then went, I'm going to wait, I'm going to get all the DLC together, and then I'm going to just go mad on it over Christmas. So I'm really looking forward to playing more of that. But
I'm not certain, but I'm pretty sure back on episode 274, I was saying that Marvel Spider-Man was a definite good shout, and I was definitely very much looking forward to that as well, basically. Yeah. But yeah.
Oh, look at you riding on Coleman's coattails. Oh, I think you'll find I said that too.
No, I'm just saying, I remember at the time saying that saying that was a good shout, that's all.
Tim, when's the last time you ever remembered anything?
No, I remember this specifically, Tim, when I think Marvel's Spider-Man, yes, that's a good shout, Coleman, but I think you'll find that Blood and Truth is going to be the game of 2018.
And by 2019, possibly 2020.
Back of the
net.
That is
going to be the enduring legacy that game leaves.
Spider-Man, play it. It's good.
Yes.
Yeah. No. I do have it. It's in my pile of shame.
I was talking to the listeners.
They were talking to the listeners. Well, I thought you were talking to me as well.
Yeah.
I am listening to you, and I can confirm it is in my pile of shame.
Yes.
I'm just trying to hardcore my way through God of War at the moment, which is really good fun.
Ooh.
I know, right?
Yeah.
And the other one was Red Dead Redemption.
Red Dead Redemption was one of my favorite games of the last generation, and I knew I was going to really enjoy Red Dead Redemption 2, and I do really enjoy Red Dead Redemption 2, and I'm still playing it now. I absolutely love this game.
I mean, have you delved much into the online yet? Is that still a bit of a broken mess?
I know, well, it's not broken, it's just there's not a lot to do. There's some story missions, but I haven't gone through them all yet. Whereas Red Dead Redemption, that first came out, and then you unlocked the online, and I went, yay, online! And then I didn't go back to the story for a good year after the game came out. And then when I did, went, oh, I really wish I did more. I wish I did this first. So now I'm actually making sure I'm going through the single player before I jump into the online. Right. I've had a little bit of a mess around, got some capture for the show, but I'll get back to that.
So you're going to be hunting down them varmints online.
I do like that you can hogtie just other players and stick them on the back of your horse, ride up to a rail line, and then you can stick them on the tracks and wait for a train. That is a thing you can do in the game. Or you can lasso them around the ankles while you're on the back of your horse, and then proceed to ride through towns while they're dragging on the back of your horse until they die.
Nice.
So that's a thing you can do. I feel like you really ruin someone's day in that game. It's like, oh, I'm going to hogtie you, stick you on the back of my horse, and there you will stay.
I mean, is it like GTA where they have to kind of consent to being in multiplayer shenanigans, or can you just walk up to a random?
I don't know if there's an incognito mode. I should look into that.
Because if there isn't, that's kind of, you know, in some ways awesome, but in other ways a terrible, terrible thing, and can't be trusted in the, with the you cannot trust the denizens of the internet with that, with such power.
Well, much like GTA, where you could be in a really good run and have an amazing, you could be making all this money and just at the finish line of this this mission where you're about to make a ton of money, and then all of a sudden a fighter jet will fly over and bomb you for no reason, just because someone wanted to screw up your day. And that's a really upsetting thing. That you don't have planes in this, so they might as well just go, well, you can lasso someone and stick them in a river.
I think you'll find that is historically accurate, that there are not aeromobiles in that particular game.
No fighter jets.
No fighter jets. Can confirm. No F-14
Tomcats.
Just on the back of
my horse. Just riding my horse through the desert and hear... Bang!
Actually, I think we'll find it's not you who would hear the radar lock-on. That is exclusively for the person using
the rockets. No. The horse has sonar.
Yeah. Oh, really? The horse has sonar? So you've got a horse with sonar and radar-guided missiles.
That too, yeah.
Right, okay. So F-14 Tom horse is what you've got.
My horse is very clever.
Right, okay. Tell me the amazing tricks your horse can do.
Well, I mean, he's got a cool name. Usain Colt.
Can we come back to some...
Oh, games? Sorry.
You know, remember the podcast thing we were doing about video games?
Shut up, Timothy. Me and Coleman, this is what an adult conversation's like. Coleman, continue telling me about your horse.
I got three horse.
You got three horse?
Yeah, I got three horse. I got two on my single player game, and then I got one on my online game. My online one is called Usain Colt. The ones in single player, they are Maple Stirrup, which is a girl, and the male is called Harry Trotter.
So actually what you've been doing, this super secret job, is it just you've been writing really bad Christmas card, really bad cracker jokes?
No, it's still not that. I think if I get another female horse, I'm going to call her Hermione.
Oh, God. Oh, that's bad.
Stop
Colin.
It. You're a bad, bad man.
Oh, why the long face?
I like a good bad pun, but that was, it's one of those ones that hurts.
I asked if you liked my joke. You said nay.
That's the same joke, Coleman, almost, like, repackaged.
Although at the end of the day, once your horse passes on, at least you've got Nevada Kebabra there, because it's dead, and that's a Harry Potter joke, and Hermione never mind.
Let's talk about more games. Go on, off your trot.
Let's talk about more games. So I was looking forward to Anthem.
Good.
Despite it not being confirmed to release in 2018.
I think we told you that at the time as well, Dan.
I entered 2018 a bright-eyed optimist.
Mm.
What I can tell you, though, is that I did get to play Anthem this year.
That's all you can tell us, though.
But I cannot tell you any more than that.
Yes, so still looking forward to that one then, Dan.
I think so. I mean, they're saying all the right things, and certainly the live streams of it, which they've broadcast, you know, there's some really encouraging kind of metagame stuff going on there. They seem to be leaning quite heavy into the RPG side of things.
We'll come on to that in a second, but I'm pretty sure both me and Coleman told you that game would not come out this year.
And you were right.
Yeah, there you go. Mm.
Yes, you were. Well, what more do you want? Yes, you are right. Is Anthem installs? No. Were you right? Yes.
Just like hearing it, really.
Yeah. Well done, Tim. Well done, you. You should really get some lottery numbers, because clearly you're on a winning streak with predicting things.
Indeed.
Let him have his win.
I will. I think you're fine. If you look at my track record of games I've picked of, like, game of the shows from different things, from things we've seen in preview, my track record is pretty hot. But anyway.
Not really.
Do you only pick Rise?
Yeah.
I actually saw Rise at E3, and I'm not sure I picked
Did
it.
Did you go to E3?
Anyway. I went to E3!
Oh, God.
Yay! Christmas bells.
He doesn't like to talk about it, but he did once go to E3.
Do you bell when he says I went to E3, or only when I say I went to E3?
Just you.
I said it twice.
Oh.
Just you.
All aboard!
Merry Christmas, everyone. So I was also looking forward to Monster Hunter World, which was quite good fun, but I think it was, you know, it was a good game. A good game, but one that, I don't know.
Right, for me, I'd never played a Monster Hunter game before. I thought I'd enjoy it. I did enjoy it. I could have easily got stuck in and played quite a lot more of it. I kind of didn't and moved on, but I'm glad I had the time with the game that I did, and I think it was a good game to jump in on from an outsider not having played one before.
And we all looked Ryu skins.
Yeah, I think it was a bit too obfuscated in terms of here's what you actually do.
You think it was bad now, apparently, before.
Yeah, no, it was even worse previously. But yeah, I mean, I still think it's still got a way to go. And dear God, the voice acting was bad in that game. It was so bad it actually made me disinclined to play it, the voice acting in that game.
I really enjoyed my time with it, but I felt like for as much work as they put into make it more approachable for new players, there were certain things in that game that they really could have also done with sorting out, like where if you were playing through with a friend, one needed to complete the mission you were doing first before you could play through with your friend if you both hadn't done it. So you couldn't really play the game through A to Z with, you know, two, like me and Tim wanted to do. We wanted to go through and play through each mission together, but we found we'd have to beat it. I think you have to get all the cutscenes unlocked in a level for it to work, that you can do that. I don't know. But I found that stuff a bit of a pain in the ass. And then there was a point.
Wasn't smooth.
Yeah. And where you're doing it on your own. I mean, God bless, like, the randoms that I called into my games on several occasions to help me out.
The word help is in lots of inverted commas there.
Oh, yeah. I set my required level cap, like, really, really high so I could only get the better people in to help me. But there was a point in that game where I just felt like the learning curve had just turned into a brick wall. Yeah, I couldn't get on with it.
And sometimes there were some missions where, like, I succeeded, especially near the end. I succeeded doing something, but I couldn't tell you why as well. So it was still, I felt it could have telegraphed stuff a lot better. But when it's a bunch of mates and you're having a laugh and you're all hunting down a big
monster thing
or whatever,
preferably one, at least one of the people knows what they're doing and can communicate that to the rest of the group.
Yeah. Also, it's quite demoralizing playing because we've done missions where it's been a couple of friends playing, like me and Tim and Neil or something, or we had the games with you and Kev as well. And you do an hour and a half trying to hunt this monster to fail, and it's so demoralizing.
Yeah, it's so, like, annoying.
I don't want to play this game anymore today.
I think having the fail condition, it's kind of a nice idea, and I understand it, but I'd prefer to have played without that, I think. Yeah.
I want to go back. I do want to go back to it at some point, but I've got
Red Dead Redemption 2. It's a shame, but as I said, I mean, enjoyed the experience I had with it. So,
but I think it was, I think Kev was quite okay with that, just because he likes, you know, beating himself around his man parts because with Dark Souls.
Well, and he's used to Monster Hunter in the past anyway.
Yeah. Well, he's, you know,
I will give you this:
S&M gamer.
Having the ability to
S&M gamer,
thanks to Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, having the ability to kick the ever-loving crap out of Arathanos with, like, Bowser or Ryu or someone, it's quite therapeutic after getting stuck in Monster Hunter World.
But no, I thought it's one of those games where I don't think, the problem is if they westernized it too much, it'd lose its essence of what it is.
Yeah,
but at the same time, is it a game that's kind of designed for a Western audience? I don't really think it is, and I think perhaps expectations of it being kind of much more accessible than it was perhaps are a little bit misplaced, because I don't, you know, I think if it became too Western, it would probably lose something of itself, I think.
Yeah, I'm surprised someone hasn't come out and made, kind of...
Well, there's Dauntless next year. That's a very much Westernized... Yeah, and I was in the early access for that on PC, and it's all right. It's not bad.
Isn't that an MMO type thing though? No,
it kind of is, but there is very much kind of a Monster Hunter vibe to it,
right?
And it's a lot more accessible as well. So
it was fun, and there's Witcher content coming next year, so look forward to that.
So we'll see. It might be the game that keeps on giving. But it seems like Geralt's seen everything at the moment.
Yes,
though.
That is true. He's done all his witching. He's got some time to travel.
He's done his witching.
Yep.
So it's not Witcher. He's witched. He's an
well, thanks
ex-witcher.
To Cyberpunk, he's probably not getting another game for a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
So he might as well just invade everyone else's.
It's his gap year or two.
Geralt's gap year.
Geralt's gap year. Well, to be fair, it's not like he needs to get the shagging around out of his system, though, is it? Let's face it.
Back of a unicorn.
But the final game I was looking forward to, but absolutely abjectly failed to play, was A Way Out.
Hey, f*** the Oscars.
Is that just because of him?
Well, yeah. I mean, it was one of those ones where I think it's not a game you can just pick up and play. You do actually need to kind of organise some proper time. And real life has been kicking my butt a bit this year, and actually finding the time to sit down and do anything other than Destiny was a shortcoming of my own timekeeping. But Colman, you say you've actually got that on PS4.
I picked it up. Tim didn't want to play. You weren't available.
No, that's a bit unfair.
Sorry, Tim didn't want to play because he was playing other games.
It wasn't, my priority. I wouldn't mind playing it sometime.
You weren't available, Dan, because you were too busy Destinying on PC.
Destiny!
Me and my girlfriend were going to play it, but we started playing Overcooked 2 instead. And we played a lot of that. That's a good game if you want a couple game. And then I couldn't find anyone to play A Way Out with. So that will be played in 2019, hopefully.
To be honest, I kind of forgot it existed.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of throwing money at games and then not playing them. So I'll give it a go.
You say that, Coleman.
I do it a lot. Yeah, I know.
Pile of shame.
Yeah, I've got a big pile of shame to work through this Christmas. So.
Mound of shame.
Mound. Wow. It's a hillock of disappointment in myself.
I did that thing where long enough of the relationship where I've given my girlfriend access to all my downloaded games, and she's gone 370 games. I went, I think they're PS Plus, and she goes, no, in your actual purchased games. I went, oh. how do you get this many games? I went, yes.
by having absolutely no self-control and a tenuous grasp of the value of money is how I did it.
What's that over there?
No, to be fair, you may have got a fair percentage of them as
well. A lot of them are games I've been given and things, yeah.
Okay, but let's say you paid for, what, half of them?
Shut up.
Don't do maths.
Let's move on now.
Well, let's say you paid for 100. Let's say you paid for 100 and average price.
He's doing less to get you in trouble.
No, I buy a lot of games on sales and things. I think I bought like 15 games last Christmas because they were about 10 quid. Oh, I want that one. Oh, I want that one. Oh, I want that one.
But that's why if you ever got a PC, Steam sales would be the end of you.
Oh, yeah. I've fallen for Steam sales in the past when I could play PC games and then never went to play the games that I purchased. At least I actually did play the games I bought this time round.
Yeah, I mean, the amount of stuff I've got sitting in my Steam library is ridiculous.
I mean, thank God the PlayStation sales are crap this year compared to last year. I mean, all the games that I would be interested in, I already got. So.
Well, to be fair, and this kind of may lead us on, but I bought my favourite game of the year in that sale.
Oh.
So, but yeah, but because I'd played your copy of God of War.
Oh, you played my copy of God of War. Right.
I bought my own copy for £25. So I thought that was a very reasonable price. I jumped in while it was on sale. Mm. But yeah.
I got God of War for 25 quid as well, and it's super fun times. But which kind of brings us on then, Tim, segueing like the little trooper you are.
Like a two-wheeled vehicle that you got to lean on to propel.
Like a two-wheeled vehicular mobile onto your favourite games of the year.
Yeah.
Timothy?
Well, as I mentioned, and for me, there was a couple of games, we'll come on to the other one in a second, but there was a couple of games that were dueling out for Game of the Year, but also Game of the Generation for me, possibly. But God of War wins out on both of those counts for me. Possibly one of my favourite games of all time. Possibly my favourite game of all time. I will give it a bit of time to settle down and see, you know, maybe next year sometime, exactly where it comes into that equation, and also how soon I go back and play through it all again, possibly. But yeah, like I just think it's an absolutely fantastic game. Like I would say, and I'm going to talk about it anyway, but Marvel Spider-Man was another one on my list, and one that was duking it out for both of those things. For me, Spider-Man's slightly more enjoyable in parts and obviously a bit more of a fun universe at times, although it's dark at times as well. But God of War, like, it this seems...
What's not to love about extreme parenting,
but
Kratos
style? God of War is dark and heavy at times, but it's also got some great moments of humour with, like, the talking head and the back and forth of the three of you. And just, like, it... But for me, it was master... It won out over that and over many things, and possibly, as I said, my favorite game, because it's so masterfully crafted. Like, the whole technical Absolutely. Aspect of it being like one shot is just something that I don't think everyone necessarily appreciates. I don't think I necessarily appreciate everything that goes behind the technology of that, but the effect of how that kind of centers you in the game and leaves you in the center of that the whole time, kind of thing. I never kind of felt like I was broken away from the game. Like, the only thing that did that to me was like time, like, oh shit, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, and you know, it's a while since a game's done that to me, kind of thing. And yeah, just the fact that the combat is so deep that you and I and someone else could have played it almost completely differently in terms of the combat, but being so good at the same time. Yeah, high level of story. It's got my favorite boss fight of all time, and I won't say much more about the first fight against Boulder. I don't want to say anything about where it is in the game or anything else, but just that is my favorite boss battle of all time, basically. Just everything about it impressed me and made me... I went into God of War not previously liking the previous... Not disliking the previous trilogy, but not being a massive fan of them. I played bits of them here and there, kind of thing. But then, yeah, this just... It exceeded the expectations I had and then kept on impressing me again. And it just kept on keeping to that high level of standard throughout the whole game. And yeah, I thought it was fantastic.
I mean, for me as well, because this is on my top games of the year as well, that it's, you know, really, I was so impressed with the risks they took with it.
Yeah.
And I think, and so many of those risks paid off so well in this game. And I think it was quite a nice kind of deconstruction. It sounds a bit wanky, but you know what I mean.
Yes, it
Kratos
does.
Kratos as a character, and actually, it does. It does sound very wanky. Thank
You're
you
welcome.
Confirming that. But, you know, kind of the way that actually it revealed he's a very kind of flawed individual. And, you know, with so many regrets about the way he's lived his life. And I just thought it was fascinating from that point of view.
Yeah. And it would have been much easier to just kind of like reboot and go to another thing and move on. But the fact that they didn't do that like meant that it seemed more respectful of where he'd come from in the past. But it also gave him this kind of emotional backstory and baggage to give him that made him seem more of a rounded character as well.
Yeah.
And just obviously played into the story. And I just think it was so well done.
I was originally concerned. I mean, first of all, when we heard it was like, okay, he's going to be, it's set in the kind of Norse mythology. Like, oh, it's just going to be the same bloody thing. But yeah, it's a couple more blokes with beards are going to be involved. But actually, it was kind of him being positioned as this kind of outsider, an interloper. Like, kind of, where have you come from? You know, this is not the kind of not where you live, mate. You know, we don't like you. We want to reject you from our society. I thought it was a really, the narrative of it was so deftly woven.
But that it feels like the whole game was woven together that tightly as well, kind of thing, from a technical perspective, story. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, on so many levels, such a great game.
I dropped off.
Did you?
Yeah, I need to start again, I think, because I got to a point and now I can't really stomach going back to it because I keep, I don't know, I wouldn't say I lost interest. It was just that there was so much God of War talk and Tim was playing at the same time and it just sort of couldn't avoid it, and I wasn't in the right mindset for that game. So
yeah, you can get overloaded with some, you know, just to hear too much about it to enjoy it. And that's kind of one of the reasons I've left Red Dead on the back burner for the moment as well.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I don't want to get too caught up in that hype, and I think I'll enjoy it more outside of that bubble. So yeah, anyway. But yeah, God of War, absolutely fantastic. As I mentioned, Marvel Spider-Man was definitely hitting my list. But that made this year's list really hard because I had those two kind of nailed in, basically. And yeah, a couple of things I could have chosen. Starlink was on this list a couple of times because I really enjoyed playing through that. And I'll mention it at the moment just because it's £20 on the Nintendo Switch at the moment on Amazon and possibly other retailers. But
it's $16.99 at Smith's for the Nintendo Starter Pack.
Ridiculous. That's got by Grandma's Hammer. Just for the ship, if you have any appreciation of Star Fox, just for the Star Fox ship, it's worth that.
I think Smith's in particular are having we may have stopped too many of these plastic toys because they're getting rid of all of them.
That's the other reason I want to mention it, because it's a real shame that it fell flat on its face. I think the toys were part of the problem, but the game, even without the toys, is It was a really good game. I really enjoyed it.
Right. I might actually go for a physical version, even though I do want the digital one, because $16.99 versus
seriously,
80
Colin,
quid.
Colin, like, literally buy it. I'm almost certain you'll be.
I know,
get your money's
I can't
worth out
sit on the tube with a bloody staff
but
wing hanging off my
Switch.
No,
but you don't need to even.
You could. Everyone would think you're the coolest kid on the tube.
Mummy, what's that man doing?
Yeah, but right, no, but even. Even with the physical thing, you don't have to have it on. If you don't have that ship attached on, you'll still have the stuff that you would have otherwise, basically.
Yeah.
So you can. Yeah.
But I want the ship.
It's worth playing. No, but buy the physical version and you can still play it without having the ship physically attached.
I thought that was a time limit thing.
No, basically.
No? Oh, okay.
No, you're good. As long it may be a time limit, but it's a period of multiple hours or days that would be fine for you going, off and about kind of thing.
Okay, because like my Switch stays off the cradle for a week at a time most times.
Yeah,
you're off the chain, Coleman.
I'm not sure what the actual thing is, but it's not that long, I don't think. But yeah, you could be all right.
I'll start testing the water by taking toys on playing with them.
Just buy the thing for 20 quid and then possibly buy the digital one when it goes on sale as well.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, definitely worth it. Fair enough. The game that actually made it onto my list, just because I played it endlessly, this is the game that basically got me to stop playing that Star Wars game on my mobile that I don't talk about anymore. But yeah, Into the Breach is a fantastic little game.
Oh, that is
loved
a great
it on
game.
The Switch. Absolutely fantastic. Out of these three games, if you were going to say which one of these would you like to play now, I'd probably choose Into the Breach out of the three of them, basically.
Wow, high praise.
Yeah, just because I've completed God of War and Marvel Spider-Man, I'm like, I've still got unfinished business in Into the Breach, apart from the DLC on Spider-Man. But all three of them fantastic, but Into the Breach kind of just scratches the right itch for me. Landed at a good time of the year for me and was a good distraction. So, yeah, really enjoyed that game as well. I'd like my turn-based strategies, so that's no surprise there. But, yeah, it was really a good version of that as well.
It's not for me, but I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think it does enough kind of stuff differently, and it's got some unique hooks in it that really make it worth a look. And I think the Switch is an excellent platform for it. I played it on PC. And it kind of felt a bit overkill playing it on the desktop, I have to say. But for the Switch, it's such a perfect fit. So, yeah. So, we've already talked about one of my favourites, and that was God of War. Officially, that game is good and stuff. Another honourable mention goes to Forza Horizon 4 for everything apart from its multiplayer setup.
Right, that is a good
garbage.
That is a good shout on both counts, Dan. Yes, I really enjoyed this game.
Forza Horizon,
and, yeah.
It's a fantastic, even if you don't like driving games, this is a great game. You can just hoon around the countryside, and there's something nice about actually being able to drive on the proper side of a road in a game, finally. And it's just, there's so much stuff to do in this game, and it keeps drip feeding you new things to try out. And it's just a great game that doesn't take itself too seriously, but also doesn't go too zany with it as well. Hours and hours of fun to be had, loads of cars, all of which, can really kind of find a car that specifically suits your style. There's like a route builder now where you can make your own tracks and your own races in addition to the blueprint stuff. You can still put liveries on your own cars. An expansion's just landed for it as well. You can buy Edinburgh Castle and live in it, for God's sake.
That expansion's getting some high praise for the amount of content it's got, I've seen at least, and giving lots of stuff.
Indeed. And, especially because they've had a bit of a rough time going into this Playground Games, because there was a few too many microtransactions in Forza 7 and people were a bit concerned it was going to be exactly the same kind of fare. But no, it's been a great game. A multiplayer connectivity aside, and the fact that they've set it up on the PC that you can only stream it via Mixer and nothing else.
So you have to go external.
It's a little bit of a... you'd have to... If you want to stream it from the PC, either via Mixer, or you'd need to break out your HDMI, then feed that back into a capture card.
I've only played about an hour of this game, and I feel horrible that I've only played an hour of this game.
You feel guilty.
It looks so good, and I haven't got the time for it.
So you should, Coleman. You need to have a long, hard look at yourself, fam.
I know, but the problem, I sat down to play it on Tim's Xbox, which, you know, he has a normal person's setup. He has, you know, the TV, the sofa, sit down, play the game. I like to play games at the desk, and I need a second Xbox. Because, I like to lean right in and stick my face in the screen.
Well, can I just say, actually, it's not just me turning older, but what is the deal with bloody... I'm doing my
side. What's the deal?
What's the deal with... what is the deal with text being so ruddy small on games these days?
I know, it's nothing to do with that.
You're old.
God of War, I'm looking at you. Well, I'm squinting at you because I can't see anything.
I swear... No, can't you change the font size, though, in God of War? I swear they patched that in.
They patched that in.
Oh, it makes it from tiny into small.
Okay.
That's literally... Do you want it really tiny or do you want it small? And it's still too bloody small.
Yeah, no, because that was even worse at launch, but they did actually patch that because, I think lots of people in game studios forget that we don't all have, like, 65-inch monitors and stuff, basically, but... Forza Horizon, yeah, the only reason I haven't played more of this game is I keep on forgetting I own an Xbox, like, and also having lots of good games on my...
Oh, is that the reason? Yeah. He keeps forgetting he has one. I need one.
I think, boys, you can make this happen. And,
to be fair, that could have disappeared for 6 months this year and I may not have noticed. It could have been replaced with a big black box of cheese.
I was just thinking I could stick a VCR in its place and you wouldn't even notice.
Yeah, 1980s VCR.
It could be replaced with a big block of cheese. And
a big block of cheese. I just said black cheese as in it had been fashioned into the shape. You could do that with cheese, Dan. It's okay.
You could do all kinds of things with cheese, Tim. You can do whatever you like, mate. You know, it's free. It's a free country.
Well, no, you can do whatever you like with cheese, Dan. I was just fashioning it into a makeshift Xbox to fool myself into thinking that the Xbox was still there.
There is a world. There is a world where Tim is on the phone to the Microsoft hotline, going, I just can't get it to switch on. I don't know what's wrong with it. It smells really weird as well.
But it keeps on smelling more and more of cheese every day.
Keep having a weird urge to go to Sweden and eat fondue. I don't know why.
And I put Blu-ray in, and I'm not sure I'm getting it back.
So that was that. And my final spot, I don't know. A bit of me really wants to say Destiny 2 Forsaken.
No, it's DLC. It's an expansion. Doesn't count.
No.
Really?
Just because they sold you the same game again, Dan, this year, doesn't mean...
No, there is still new story happening in Forsaken,
right,
to be
now
fair.
I know you're lying. You're telling me the story
taking
place in Destiny, Dan.
Seriously, for those of you who've played Forsaken, it's worth going to visit the Queen this week. That's all I'm going to say. Go and visit the Queen.
I think she's a bit busy, mate, recording a Christmas address or at least, you know, writing for it. Or
no, they don't do that, Destiny, although that would be fucking hilarious.
Hello. Hello, Guardians.
I spaced out for a moment. Are we saying Queen Elizabeth plays Destiny?
No, this is her appearing in Destiny.
Yeah, it's a massive crossover, mate. I mean, we all know the royal family's looking for more cash flow these days.
Okay, what class does she roll?
She is a warlock.
Ah, of course.
She looks like a warlock.
Me and Liz, like that.
Yep. Prince Philip. I believe... I think he's a hunter.
Nah, Philip's a titan.
Really?
I can see him...
Charles is a hunter.
Yeah, he probably is, actually. I think Charles is a hunter. Camilla's a hunter as well.
Camilla's a minotaur.
Jesus.
She doesn't even get a main character.
Also, now that Destiny 2 Forsaken, I'm not allowed it, apparently. I'm going to sneak in Octopath Traveler.
Oh, yeah, I forgot we were talking about this.
It takes me back to my Final Fantasy 3/6 days on the Super Nintendo. It kind of really feels a really fun, beautifully crafted game.
Have you played it, though, Dan?
Yes.
Have you played all 8 paths?
I've played 3 paths, I believe.
Okay, that's not bad. Not bad. More than I thought you'd play.
It's a really interesting take on storytelling and seeing the same events from different points of view, something I've not really done before. in the kind of like that. Well, essentially, it's a Final Fantasy game in all but name, I would say this. But yeah, it's a beautifully crafted, really fun game. Really deep RPG mechanics, but still accessible. And I just think it's a corking little title, is my take on the matter.
Final Fantasy game in all but name, presentation, and branding, yeah?
If you look at Final Fantasy 3, mate.
Final Fantasy 3, maybe.
See,
okay.
The thing I get, especially looking at the videos of this, and the comparison I give it is not for the reason you might think, but it reminds me more of Final Fantasy VII, and it's because of the whole thing of taking these, because the way the game runs is it's tiny little sprite people, and then these beautiful scrolling backgrounds, and that's kind of what they did with Final Fantasy VII. They had very blocky polygonal characters, and then these beautifully painted backgrounds that they just slammed them onto. And it gives me that kind of vibe when I was playing that initially. I really do want to play Octopath Traveler. I've been waiting for it to go down in price though, so I will have to pick that up at some point.
I don't know. I played the demo and it really put me off. Didn't you play the demo? It put you off, but then still bought it.
No,
not you.
Sorry,
Dan.
No, you're making things up.
You're
there,
thinking
Tim.
Of okay. Rick.
Yes.
It was a different person.
Me and Rick, different people.
Oh,
I mean, you might not see us in the same room at any one time, but I can confirm we're different people.
I played the first demo, didn't like it. Played the second demo, did like it.
Right.
First demo was a bad demo.
Yes, I heard that. But that's the demo I played.
Demo. You are a bad demo. Back in your corner.
I think I downloaded the second demo and never actually bothered to play it.
There you go. That's your problem.
There you go. Classic Tim.
Classic yep. Hibs.
Classic Hibs.
Back of the net.
I mean, like, how many demos do you want? Like, get the demo right the first time.
Well, I think the problem was that people picked up the first demo and then there was negative backlash to the first demo and they went, well, that's not indicative of the final. Here, try this one. Oh, yeah, that's much better. All right, I'll pick it up. Banging.
Better like this. Better
banging.
Like this.
Banging oh, little game.
Forza Horizon 4. Octopath Traveler.
Yeah. So that's mine and Tim's done. Tim has amazed us all by actually being able to count to three accurately. But Coleman!
I did sneak in a fourth, but you know.
You played some games and you like three of them.
I think we've spoken enough about Marvel Spider-Man, but I will say it's
a Spider-Man game?
Yeah, it's overtaken my favourite Spider-Man games now. It is my favourite Spider-Man game. I really enjoy it. And as well as the DLC, I'm looking forward to a sequel. I'm really hoping there is a sequel because they've left it nicely open for that. Yeah, it's such a good game. Red Dead Redemption 2, as I said, it's a beautiful game. It's a very slow-paced game that a lot of people didn't like. I absolutely love that it's a slow-paced game. It means it's lasting me a lot longer. There are days of this game that I can go in and do a couple of missions and go, all right, I'm good. I'll see you same time next week and try this again. There are days where I will have a day off and go, I'll play a little bit of Red Dead Redemption 2, get some crafting in, do some hunting. I will spend the entire day in the wilderness hunting animals and selling their skins and, you know, just being a mountain man and then go, I didn't achieve anything in the game, but I had a bloody good time.
You're just camping for the weekend, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. It's I hate referencing this show, but was it Big Bang Theory. I remember watching an episode of that and there was a point where a character was annoyed and then the next scene was him playing Red Dead Redemption, but he wasn't doing anything. He was just walking around. And they went, what are you doing? He goes, I'm just having a walk. And that's kind of how I feel Red Dead Redemption.
You do love a walking simulator, though, don't you, Coleman?
Stroll-playing game.
Stroll-playing game.
But yeah, I really do enjoy this game, and it is gorgeous. This should be on everyone's list to play, at least, you know. The third game I picked, this was the one that kind of jumped all over the place because it was going to be Detroit Become Human. Because I really did enjoy that game. Then Let's Go Pikachu came out, and that is a really good Pokemon game. And then Super Smash Bros. Came out, and I have played this game every day since it's been released so far. And
this game confuses me!
Thanks to it being on the Nintendo Switch, and the Switch being a portable device as well as a home console, it makes my journeys seem like nothing. That I get excited that I'm now commuting, that I get to play my game a bit
more. Yes, a delay!
It's so good. It's now my favourite handheld game. That's how good this is. I absolutely love Super Smash Bros. It is the best Super Smash Bros. Game out there for me. Again, there are online problems. There are working on it. They're trying to fix the problems with the online gameplay, but I don't think I've ever played Super Smash Bros. Online in any of the previous iterations, so I'm not too bothered about that anyway. I like playing it on its own. I like doing the single player stuff. I love unlocking characters. This is what I was saying to Tim the other day, is I showed him how many characters I'd unlocked, and I've not even scratched the surface on how many I have to unlock still. It's so good playing a fighting game, and I've played a lot of fighting games in the last couple of years. I got really back into them lately, and it's so good to play a fighting game where I'm unlocking characters and levels and I'm progressing, and it feels like I'm playing a fighting game again. I'm not spending money on DLC to unlock the characters I want. There will be some of that.
Although you can buy characters as DLC, just saying.
No, yeah. there will be some of that, and you know, I will definitely buy new characters for this game, but I like that there are... You start out with six characters and then you have to unlock the rest.
See, it also seems to me that most fighting games these days aren't aimed or structured in a way that is aimed at the single player gamer. They are structured in a way is we expect you to get playing online and get playing what's on it. And I wish get playing competitively, and that's fine, but I wish they'd concentrate a bit more on the progression in the single player game of unlocking characters and only having a limited roster of characters to choose from, so that, you know, it feels like, you say, like there's progression as you go through the game, and that, you know, it feels like you're achieving something, and also so you have a limited selection available to you, so you actually select people that you might not play with very much otherwise.
Yeah. And yeah, it is the dedication, the love that's put into this game being kind of, and I think they've said something along the lines of they're not playing another Smash Brothers for a good 10 years now, because that's it. They put
this
all the work into
definitive version.
This is the definitive version.
I mean,
and
there
it feels
is a
like,
ridiculous amount of content in
yes,
this game.
And it does feel like the definitive version. I am so happy with it. All the team that worked on it needs some kind of pay rise or a break or something following it.
Probably
a lot
a
of work's
break.
Gone into it. And yeah, I am so happy with it. And it's not hard. As soon as this game came out, and I think after a week of this game being out, I was like, yep, that's in the top three. That's in my game of the year now. I absolutely love this game.
I must say, though, because I've never played Smash before, this game, I mean, I love it. It's great fun, but it confuses the hell out of me with what's going on.
No, I understand. And again, as I prefaced last week, I'm not actually very good at Smash Brothers. I just really, really like it.
Well, we need to play online then.
Yeah.
If you're a man like me, who can happily jump off a stage with no intervention from any other fighters, then me and you, sir, we've got good times ahead of us.
Yes.
So I'll try and make that sound a bit less like a dating profile next time.
That sounds adorable.
We've already talked about Spider-Man, we've talked about Red Dead Redemption, we've talked about Super Smash Brothers, so I think it's time for us to look forward to 2019, tis it not?
Just before we move on, there's one caveat. I did kind of, you know, bury it for the thing, but I didn't put any VR games on my thing because I get to cheat and do another three games on VRB. So anyway, there you go.
Good. Yeah. All right. So that is 2018. It's in the bag. It's kick the bucket. It's other metaphors that aren't entirely appropriate. Yeah, it's a thing. It was a thing. But we're looking forward to 2019. Wondering what the devil we're going to be looking forward to. Timothy Hibbs. I'm surprised by your first one.
Well, it kind of floated in and out of my list a bit. But I'm looking forward to it, and I'm very eager to see how it works out. I'm also,
do you want to tell people what it
yeah,
is?
But, well, it's Anthem. And part of that reason is because it's BioWare's next...
game.
Sci-fi related property. It's kind of moved on from Mass Effect. I've always been a bigger fan of their sci-fi stuff than the kind of fantasy-based stuff. So, yeah, I'm really curious to see how it works out, and I'm curious to see how it plays in single and multiplayer, and how that balances out, basically. But yeah, I'm keen to see what happens with it, basically.
Good.
And yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's nice and early in the year. Can get stuck into it. Yeah, I'm keen to see how
that goes.
I think
it's like February 22nd or something, is it? It's really quite early.
I'm also, for me, this has to hit hard, and it has to do really well for them, because
it's BioWare's last stand in some
ways.
Yeah,
in some
way.
Like, otherwise, this could literally take one of my favorite gaming companies out of existence. So I'd be sad to see them go. So yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully, EA don't kill it with microtransactions.
That's my other concern. But yeah, they have to have learned their lesson from Battlefield. You would have thought.
Nah, you say that.
It's a good one. It's a good one. I like that.
Oh, Tim. Oh, Tim. Oh, you sweet summer child. Tim, another thing you love is multiplication, and that's, I'm assuming, the reason why he chose this next game.
Because it looks awesome. Daemon X Machina.
It's Cross Machina.
You're right. Yes, you are right indeed. Cross Machina. But yeah.
Multiplied by Machina.
Anyone that remembers the, I think it was E3, I think they announced it. It was on their, the Nintendo Direct at E3, I believe.
Wasn't it in, they've done all the big news, and then they went, and here's a bunch of stuff that's coming out. And there was a quick flash of this. And we went, what the hell's that? I want to see that. Show me more of that one.
No, I think it was the first trailer just in the first.
Oh, no, that was a different one I'm thinking of.
Sizzle reel type thing. So, yeah. It looks really interesting. I talked about one of their, I think it was a Vita game that was ported to the Switch that I played earlier this year. That was another kind of mech-based game that I really liked. And this one looks like a really heavily stylized, shaded, graphically shaded kind of version of that. And yeah, I'm really keen to see how this one comes out. I swear when they announced it, they said January or February of this year, and that seems to have disappeared. I could be misremembering that, but it seems to be scheduled for 2019, and I hope it comes out as early as possible in 2019. But yeah, definitely looking forward to it.
Lovely.
Oddly enough, my other one I'm really looking forward to is also a Switch game as well, basically. It's on all formats, but I'm mostly hoping and looking forward to it on the Switch because that feels like a natural home for it, because it's an Advanced Wars kind of thing, and it's a game called Wargroove.
Get into Wargroove, boy, yeah, and you gotta prove your love to
I
me.
I just got an image of those really weird kind of characters out of Warframe twerking.
I'm not entirely convinced with the name, but I am entirely convinced with the game. So again, turn-based strategy, that, you know, that's good for me. That's kind of why I want it on the Switch as well, because I think that's a good platform for that at the moment. And it very much looks, and I think even the game developers, Chucklefish, are saying that it's kind of inspired by Advanced Wars, but they seem to be adding quite a lot to the formula as well, and kind of making it so you can create your own levels. And they've put their own twist and stuff on the format. It's kind of more fantasy, not quite entirely fantasy based, but there are sort of some creature-y type things, and then, yeah, kind of knights, and it's kind of, more in that kind of realm. One that I've played, again, I think a couple of times now. I played Rezzed and EGX last year, or this year, I should say, rather. Really looking forward to that one next year, basically. So, should be good.
Good.
Happy days! Stuff I'm looking forward to, Anthem, we've already talked about. Now, one that I'm surprised didn't pop up on your radar, Tim, and that's Luigi's Mansion 3.
I could have very easily picked it. I kind of forgot about it until I saw it in your list. I was like, oh, Dan, that's a really good shout. I might take one of the games off my list. It would probably have taken Anthem on my list, and that would have had 3 Switch games, and that seemed a bit heavy.
Yeah, I mean, there's very few details about Luigi's Mansion 3, and it was kind of mentioned in passing in a Nintendo Direct saying, it's going to be out in 2019. I'm just basing this upon the fact that previous Luigi's Mansion games were awesome, and I'm assuming this will be also. So really looking forward to it, see what they do with it.
Loved the last one. I think the last one was probably my favorite 3DS game, and that's a really good shout. Also, just because you kind of glossed over Anthem and you said talking about it, one thing I want to know from you on that respect though, do you think this could be your Destiny killer, and or alternate question, do you think you have time for both of them in your life, and that many players will?
Ba-ba-bum.
I don't think I've got time these days for two
games of
games
service
that need that kind of upkeep, because there's one of the things that keeps coming back is the fear of missing out, and they're designed in that way to keep you coming back, because you might miss out on something really cool.
Wow, that sounds really familiar to some games of old.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, we'll see. I mean, it's gonna. I mean, admittedly, I am quite invested in the Destiny universe, but you know, there's enough good things about Anthem where I really want to give it a good proper look. So,
do they have chickens?
I did not see chickens, but there is a town where I'd imagine chickens may live.
Ooh.
So you could befriend a chicken.
Kick yourself a chicken? Maybe?
Love me a chicken.
You do love your the chickening. Coleman 2, the chickening.
The chickening.
And the other game that I'm really looking forward to is Cyberpunk 2077. So CD Projekt Red's
see, again,
next.
Very much looking forward to this one. Bit worried that it won't come out this year.
I'm a bit worried that I haven't played the other 2076
games
versions before this one.
hopefully it won't have dated itself by the time it actually comes out, but hopefully it will. You know, I'm hoping it will be out Q4 next year.
Yeah.
It'll just squeak in on December 31st or something. But I really likely look what they're doing with that game, and be interesting to see CD Projekt Red stretch their legs in a universe that isn't The Witcher.
Mm.
It looks like from that big gameplay video they put out, the kind of tour, what was it, like an hour of footage of gameplay, that looked really good. And it looked like what I want, like Deus Ex, what I always wanted Deus Ex to be.
Mm.
And I do think I'm really going to enjoy it. However, I'm not sold on it coming out next year, even though so far it's not actually officially got a release date. The date we have comes from an investor call. And they did that with Anthem in 2017, saying
yeah,
that would come out in 2018.
Yeah, that's not always the best indicator.
Yeah, because I think it's got a surprisingly early release date in the investor call. It's something like June. But yeah.
Oh, that's not happening.
No, I don't think
that's
happening.
That's not happening.
But yeah, it looks really good, and I've got high hopes for it. I really enjoyed The Witcher 3, and yeah.
Again, I prefer sci-fi to fantasy, so I definitely think this is, going to tick all my boxes.
And I like CD Projekt Red, so...
Good. Stop touching yourself, though, Timothy. It really is quite worrying.
These are good studio.
On me, Dan.
They do good things.
Anywho, Coleman.
Hi!
Not just me and Tim who are looking forward to things. It's also you. What are you looking forward to, and why?
Okay, I'll start with Tom Clancy's The Division 2. I really enjoyed Tom Clancy's The Division when that first came out. Again, that I'll now call The Division, because I'm not saying Tom Clancy every time. I really enjoyed The Division when that first came out. I played the holy hell out of that. The problem I had is a lot of people dropped off quickly or far surpassed me in levels, and it wasn't very fun to play with them, because I just have to hang back and let them do all the work. And yeah, I never really got back to it. And I wasn't really interested in The Division 2 until I played it. And now I'm super interested again. So
what particularly about it compared to The Division 1 made you think, hello, this is something I want to spend a bit of time
with? It was just that playing with friends again. Because we did like the four-player run through. We worked really well as a team, and I really enjoyed it, actually chatting to friends and playing the game again. But as well, like, just the overall handling of the game felt like it was much more improved. I took headshots and they actually felt like headshots. It didn't feel like I was taking down a buff, you know? So all that stuff was really good. I like the change in atmosphere as well, where it's not a dark, snowy Christmas Manhattan anymore. It is Washington, D.C. in the summertime. And I don't know. It's just, I think... it's going to get its hooks in me like the first game, but the changes in atmosphere might be enough to keep me going with the game and not feel so dreary, you know?
Well done making an adventure shooter game sound like an intervention. Well, I think we've all done really well here today.
I think as well, when they announced it, when I played it, I think I went on Twitter and said, hey, I'm like this game, but I don't know who's actually going to be playing it. And immediately... like people that I was playing it with previously went, we're all down for this. Come on, let's get a team going. And I'm up for this again. So, yeah, Division 2.
Good for you.
Devil May Cry 5. I love the Devil May Cry games. And I really liked DMC and was hoping they'd carry on with that series. But alas, they've gone back to...
they didn't run with it, did they?
No, they've gone for a...
No,
I just see what you did there. They've instead opted for a direct sequel to Devil May Cry 4, but they definitely seem to have taken some inspiration from Ninja Theory's attempts before. So yeah, I love Devil May Cry. I'm really looking forward to playing this one. And hope it's not completely marred in DLC and microtransactions like it looks like it's going to be, but we'll see. Do you know they've re-released previous Devil May Cry games and then added microtransactions to them?
You what? Seriously?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's poor.
It was funny because they ported DMC, nice, did nothing to it, just like give it a bit of sheen, stick it on the PS4, like, yep, yeah, I'm happy with this, love DMC. And then they re-released DMC, Devil May Cry 4, and then immediately I thought, why? You've just released the best game. And they added microtransactions to it. I'm like, what the hell? That's insane.
God damn it.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Mortal Kombat 11, which was just announced at the recent Game Awards. And this will be... Mortal Kombat will be on all systems, so it's coming to the Switch as well. Not sure if I'll pick it up. I'll need to see it in action on the Switch before I'm picking it up on the Switch. But as I mentioned earlier, I've really gotten back into my fighting games, and Mortal Kombat 11 looks like I want to jump into. And they added a Scorpion skin from the Mortal Kombat movie, so I'm really happy with that, because that looks cheesy as hell. I'm hoping there's more character skins from the movie.
When did that movie come out?
1994? Four? Five? Cool. Six?
That explains why it's so awesome.
But yeah, that's that. If you've never watched the Mortal Kombat movie, it's not great. It's a cheese fest. But the idea of sticking in, like, imagine if the next Street Fighter update, they went, okay, so we've added in character skins from the Street Fighter movie. I'd be there in a heartbeat. I'll pay like 10 quid a skin for those. I'll be well up for that.
So there we go. I think, chaps, then that's it, isn't it? I think we are done for 2018, and we're looking forward to 2019. So, we really ought to bugger off, I suppose, in a festive way.
One thing that we'll talk about just before we do is that we do have some prize codes to give away for a game that we didn't manage to sneak in and play quite yet this year, but we might hopefully get to maybe even stream, but we'll get to play at some point and get some footage up at some point, hopefully.
We say that. We've played it before it came out.
But yeah, we also managed to play this at Res last year, a game called Big Crown Showdown. Quite cheap and easy to pick up, but you can possibly win a copy as well, so we've got some to give away. But yeah, like, think Micro Machines meets Castle Crashers is how I've been doing the elevator pitch for it. But it's basically, yeah, four little knights kind of duking it out in a course, and you can knock each other off the side of the course and stuff like that. It's a good fun multiplayer mayhem as well. So we've got some codes for that to give away on Xbox One and PS4. I think, what should we do? First people to comment on the forums? Should we do that?
First people to tweet to Tim directly and say, Rise Game of the Year 2018.
No,
onwards. I don't know. What do you want to do?
Well,
Game of the Generation, Rise.
Don't show me pictures of your crown. That'd be bad. But
show me pictures, show of, me your pictures crown. Of your
big crown.
Jesus.
Contact me on Twitter at BRBTim, and the first 10 people to do so, there will be codes available for Xbox One, PS4, first come first serve as to which one you get. Hashtag Big Crown Showdown and message me with just that, and the first 10 people to do so will get part of the prize. Or get a code.
Get part of the prize. You get one digit of the code.
They will get one quarter of the code. I don't
know
why
I said it that way. But you will get a full code for either PS4 or Xbox One. As I said, first come, first serve on format choice.
Blended. Well done, Tim.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's nice to give out some presents at the end of the year.
In a characteristically obtuse
16
fashion.
16 winners, you all get a digit each. Come together, one of you gets the game.
Also, just thank you very much for everyone that came down for Tabletop.
It's like the Hunger Games, Tabletop, but with DLC.
Just thank you very much for everyone that came down to Tabletop Tuesday last night. We had our Christmas special. That went down well. Loads of games. They were all there available to play over Christmas time. But we won't be. Just note that Tabletop Tuesday is now done for the year, and we'll be back on the, I believe, 8th of January.
Be there or be somewhere else. You heard it here first. So, there we go. We've told you Tuesdays in 2019, so we'll be Tuesdays. I think, really, we just need to thank each and every one of you for continuing to listen to the show and, To us, it just seems like it's three blokes jabbering nonsense into a mic. And, you know, it's always a pleasant surprise when someone's kind enough to download the show. So thank you so much for being listeners this year. And we'll continue our ramblings into next year. And hopefully you'll join us too.
Yes.
But yeah, it's been a year, chaps.
It has been a year.
It has indeed been a year. So I suppose for the last time this year, then really I ought to say my name's Dan. Or I have been Dan. I can't even do it right. That's how upset I am with the end of the year. I've been Dan.
I might have been Tim.
And I have been Coleman. Thanks for listening.
Yes, you'll have. And we should all be those people again next year.
I might not yes. be.
Might you?
No.
Who might you be?
Deborah.
Nice. Good for you, man. Good for you.
Finally.
Be who you want to be. Don't let society get you down. Be the best you can be, Coleman.
Thanks, man.
That's all right, buddy. Anyway, so happy Christmas or non-denominational holiday of your choosing, one and all, and have a marvellous new year. And we'll be nestling in your ear canals, as per usual, in 2019. So, until next year, dear listeners, toodle-bye.
Your ears are quite welcome
for the podcasting goodness that you just heard.
Why not roll on over
to BigRedBarrel.com
for more podcasts,
news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.